Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, in Los Angeles, you have the Walk of Fame, don't you, in Hollywood? And in Cooperstown, New York, you have the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And in Canton, Ohio, you have the NFL Hall of Fame. But exceedingly abundantly above all of that is Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith. In Hebrews 11, the word faith is used 26 times in one chapter. And 23 times it says, by faith so-and-so did this, and by faith so-and-so did that, drawing all these excellent examples from the Old Testament. And this morning, the message is going to be just that. I want to use Hebrews chapter 11 as an outline and tell you that short account of faith from that Old Testament saint, and then go back to the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and tell you their story from heart. And just work back and forth from Hebrews 11, looking at all these excellent examples of faith with some help from our young people. So if you seven men can come up, and our first example of faith is Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken, and he was not found. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh, and Seth lived after he begot Enosh 807 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan, and Enosh lived after he begot Cainan 815 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And he died too. And Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel, and Cainan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Cainan were 910 years. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And Jared lived 162 years and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. With me. And Enoch walked with God. And he lived 300 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Okay, guys, let's go to our next example of faith. Abraham. Where's my Abraham helper? You. Come and see. You can just sit right there, bud. By faith, Abraham was tested, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. And he called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and they rose up and went on to the place which God had told him of. Well, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, Behold, here am I! And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Okay. Let's go to our next example of faith. Our next example, the parents of baby Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the Pharaoh's commandments. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls which came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died. And all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel. And they made your lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And Pharaoh called the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives can come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter he shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bear a son, and when she saw him, that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein and laid him among the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself by the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Well, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee the nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. Okay, two more examples. Our next is Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. And when he was come out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, why do you hurt your brother? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, and Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs and watered their father's flocks. But the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today, my daughters? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered our flocks. And he said, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, do not come any closer. Remove the shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them, to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have surely seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and there shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. Well, let's go to our last example, friends, because the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and, here we go, quenched the violence of fire. Okay, next set. can stand right here. You can sit there. Okay. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a statue of gold. Whose height was 90 feet high, and the breadth of it 9 feet, and he set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Oh, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Well, then were the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province gathered together unto the dedication of the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up, and they stood before the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship, he shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden statue which thou hast set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden statue which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden statue which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden statue which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not anxious to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he shall deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden statue which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was normally heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hoses, their hats, their other garments, and cast into the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the flame of the fire exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He said, look, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out to the midst of the fiery furnace, and the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Neither were their clothes changed, neither had the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his messenger and has delivered his servants that have trusted in him. Thanks, guys. Okay. That's the question I want to leave everyone with today, is what are we really trusting? What are we really having faith in Jesus to do that only God can do? What are we asking for, both big and small things? And what are we knocking on those proverbial doors of? Jesus said it this way, what manner of man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? What are we really, friends? What are we asking Jesus to do in faith that only God can do? About 10 years ago, I was asking for three different things. And the first one was, Lord, I want to be diligent in my business, and I want you to allow me to witness to a king. And I did not pray about what country that king would be from. So I was living in Israel for 4 years, and we're doing evangelism up in the Galilee at a place called Ein Harod, where the exact spot where Gideon was given his 300 men. Next. And I turn around, and it took about 5 years to answer the prayer in faith. And from me to the door is the king, the president of Israel, Shimon Peres. And so, in this bright yellow obnoxious shirt that said Yehudim Laman Yeshua, which is Jews for Jesus in Hebrew, I did what Lance probably would have done. Said a quick prayer, went right under the security fence. Because this is, I have to do something. He brought him to me. And then once I did that, I made gentle eye contact with him. His guards parted, literally like that, and God has sent me to you to tell you that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that he died on the cross for your sins, Shimon, and he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And here's what we're doing in the Galilee, and gave him the Brit Hadashah, gave him the New Testament. And he took it, and I didn't get shot, and I'm here to tell it today. Yeah. But praying in faith, that's something only God can do. Is the timing like, right? Abraham had to wait 25 years for a promise, for a prayer. He's living on a prayer. Another thing I was praying for is that God would give me a wife. Someone who's crazy enough to travel to like 30 different states in 1 year and drive 50,000 miles and live in a fifth wheel. Found her! Next. And we were married in Jerusalem, on top of all that, on the city of the great king. And yeah, Sarah's the best. Thank you. Is there the next? Yes. And that's, yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just going to keep on asking. Right? And then the next thing I ask for is, Lord Jesus, give us a baby, please. And by the way, we do, well, let's go to the next picture. And there she is. All right. And so he gave us Hosanna, and she's 15 months old now. And next, we have another on the way. Yeah. And thank you. Yeah. Babies due on Christmas Eve. Isn't that funny? Yeah. And so a couple weeks ago, I'm praying fervently that I could meet one of my heroes, Chuck Norris. Okay? Because I'm speaking up in the High Sierra Mountains, north of here, and I just finished reading his book, and I know he's a believer. Well, I know he's in the next town over. So I pull into Chester, California, walk into the Happy Garden Chinese restaurant. I'm praying all week. I ask the first person I see, can you please tell me where Chuck Norris lives? And they gave me his exact address. Thank you, Jesus. So I, with Hosanna in tow and my pregnant wife next to me, pull up in front of his house. And his wife Gina answers the door. Now, thankfully, we were in the newspaper, so she didn't think we were weirder than we were, and I could prove who we were. And I told her, in short, that we're missionaries, what we do. And she goes, I never let anyone who comes to the door talk to the man who doesn't do push-ups but pushes the earth down. But you have found great favor in my eyes. And she went and got him next, and so we... We spent a half hour or so on the front porch with him, just praying and talking about Jesus, and hopefully the beginning of a friendship. We've been writing and stuff, so we'll see what happens. Why don't we ask more? Really, guys. Well, the other side of the coin next is what we're asking for all the time is for opportunities to speak, because by doing so, not only does my family exist, but all of these exist by faith. This is our family in Africa, our Word Sower Church in Africa in the Coca-Cola building. Sarah taught the Sunday school class. These are all of our orphan children. We have 1,000 that we clothe and feed and shelter every single day. Next, also in Haiti, we have an orphanage called My Father's House. In Africa, in Haiti, and in India, it's the same cell. We have a Word Sower Church, and we have an orphanage and a widows program in all those different places. And then those were bikes to send out our Word Sower people into the bush in India to share the gospel. And next, and that's a typical next Word Sower little hut church in India. Our ministry is small, but it's powerful because it's God, God's Word, right, that carries the service, and it never returns void. And I hope that you were blessed by coming to church today, and that you had a good time at church today, that you are built up in your faith, that you're going to think about something that God can really do, that only He can do. And may the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. As you exit, there's a table. On the table, we're going to Israel if you want to come with us. There's also some DVDs and CDs of the Bible spoken from memory. So, thank you. God bless. Pastor.